Praise you, Lord. Well, let's turn over to Ephesians 3. If you haven't been with us, we've been talking about love. We've called the series that we're in Rooted and Grounded in Love. Rooted and Grounded in Love. And our text that we've been taking is Ephesians 3:14. Ephesians 3:14. Ephesians 3:14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Hallelujah. So verse 16 says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That's what we've been talking about for the last couple weeks, that we would be strengthened with might through His Spirit. Notice it's through His Spirit that we're going to be strengthened. That's how we're going to be girded up. It's through His Spirit. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love." Rooted and grounded, established in love. That's how we're going to get strengthened. That's how we're going to be able to walk out what God has for us. It's because we're rooted and grounded in the love of God. The Bible said, we read in another place, God is love, it says in 1 John. So if you're rooted and grounded in love, you're rooted and grounded in God. Isn't that where we wanted to be rooted and grounded? Excuse me. We want to be rooted and grounded in Him, in His Word, and in His love for us. And we focused this last couple weeks, and I encourage you, we're going to review a little bit here, but if you didn't hear it, go back and listen. They're all good, and we're building towards something here, building on each one builds on the other, but these last couple weeks, talking about that it's through His Spirit. That's how we're going to be enabled to walk in love, to be rooted and grounded in love. The Lord gave us His Spirit to do this. He's our helper to do this. He's our helper to get it done. So we're not just by ourselves. You know, He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us to get this done. This is one area He's getting it done, is to help us be established in this love and then to flow in this love. That's what one of the things the Holy Spirit has been given us to do. Let's look on your sheet. We're going to review a few of these scriptures before we go on. I encourage you, go back and listen to those, especially the last couple. Romans 5:5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The New Century Version said, "God has poured out His love to fill our hearts. He gave us His love through the Holy Spirit, whom God has given us." The New Living Translation says, "For we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. He gave us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with that love. So as a believer, could you say, I just don't have any love? No, you can't say that and be consistent with Scripture. If we've been born again, then entrusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we have, this is describing us, we have the very love of God. Not your love, not my love, not your mama's love, not your dad's love, not your brother and sister's love, not your, you know, somebody you knew in the past that was a Christian. It is the love of God. So He gives us His love in order to love in this earth. He didn't give us a second-rate, cheap love. He didn't give us some dumbed-down, you know, blue light special love. He gave us the full dose. And He didn't say He just gave us a little bit. It says that He poured it out in our hearts. So is that love there? Yes. I mean, we either take the Word of God for what it is, you know, or we don't. You say, well, I just don't feel like I have that love. What in the world does that have to do with it? What if you don't feel like Jesus, you know, you've already accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? What if you don't feel saved today? Are you any less saved? Not according to the Word, you're saved, right? So if you don't feel like you really love somebody today, does that mean, well, that love, it's gone today? Do you go by the way you feel? No, if you go by the way you feel, you're going to be up, you're going to be down, you're going to be up, you're going to be down, up, maybe for a little while longer, then down, 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 up, up, nope, up, down. Because your feelings can go all over. But God is not in feelings. I'm not saying He can't speak to us through our emotions, our feelings. He gave us emotions and feelings, but we're not to be dominated by our feelings. If we are, we're going to be all over the place. And if you're under pressure, that's the last time you, the worst time to be led by your feelings. Because your feelings will tell you all kinds of stuff. And you don't want to listen to them necessarily. You got to know your emotions are there. We can't let our emotions tell us what to do. We have to dominate them and be led by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. So if the Bible tells us, we just read it, Romans, let's go to the New Living Translation. That's when it says, He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. He has given us the Holy Spirit to what? Fill our hearts with His love. So is it a done deal or not? Okay, it's a done deal. So if we believe that, we have to act on that. We've established that. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:14. These are scriptures we went over. We're kind of going through them a little faster to review, get us on the same page, and we'll go forward. 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. It says, the love of God, the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ. Where's that love? It's been given in us, right? And that compels us to operate in this world. If we'll let it. If we'll let it. The love of God, we have it. We couldn't say we don't have it. You know, you can have something and not use it. Right? Now, you could have a car sitting at home. And, you know, be covered up and in the garage. And maybe it's real nice and you want to keep it all nice. And it could be raining or snowing or some condition you normally don't want to take that car out in. but your primary car, your day-to-day car, is having trouble. Now, if you needed to get to the store, you couldn't say you don't have a car that works. But you have a choice whether you're going to use it or not. You may not want to use it. Well, you couldn't say you don't have it, but you still got to use it if it's going to do you any good, right? You could have money sitting at home. You could have money, you could have cash there. And sometimes the problem is people don't realize that they have something. Like in this case, they don't actually realize that they have the love of God. So if you don't realize you have it, that usually makes it difficult to use it. So if you had money at home that you had stashed away and forgot where you stashed it, it's going to be difficult to use it because you don't know that you have it. But you couldn't say you don't have it, really. You have it, you're just not using it, right? Well, we know we have this, right? We have the love of God, so now we have a choice. Are we going to use it or not? Are we going to choose to use the love of God that's in us? We can't say we don't have it. We have it. It says, for the love of God, or love of Christ compels us. Look at Philippians 2:13 on your sheet there. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Look at the New Living Translation. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He's working in us. How does he work in us? He works in us through the Holy Spirit. Look at John 14:26. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. We talked about the Helper. We talked about that specifically last week, that we have a helper, right? I encourage you, if you're in a position where you need some help, go back and listen to that message. We have a helper to take the part with us against whatever we need in life. We have the helper. And he will help us to do this very thing, to act on that love that's already inside of us. You know, we read earlier that God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with this love. This is part of what he does. He helps us to love. And look at Ezekiel 36:25. This is all review. It says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Do you notice that? He said, verse 27, I will put my spirit within you. And what? Is the spirit just in there just so we can say we have the spirit in us? He's just hanging out. What does he do in there? Well, we read, he's a helper. This is one of the reasons he's in us. Verse 27 says, I will put my spirit within you and what? Cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So he gave us his spirit to help us walk this life out. Right? So he didn't just set the bar and say, now, good luck with that. Go on, and we'll see how you do. He gave us the supernatural ability through his very spirit in our heart to do what he's asked us to do and told us to do. So when we talk about love, you know, the world is talking about, the world always kind of talks about love in different ways, especially, you know, we're coming up here in Christmas season already. I mean, gets earlier all the time. But anyway, all the wreaths and everything are up, all that stuff. But love. And they're going to talk about love apart from Jesus. Because love is this concept that people think it's ideal. Well, you know, just love everybody, love people, love your brethren. But it separates it from the one who is love. Love is defined by God. And we're not going to get into that particularly today, but we will, I believe, in the upcoming sessions. But love, you can't talk about love, really, without talking about him, because he's love. He is love. He doesn't have love. So, in other words, our God has love, but, you know, all these other religions, they have love too. That's not true. That's what you get, the idea. Well, you know, just as long as you love, that's the important thing. People will say this, it sounds good, but it's not Bible. It's not real. It sounds good to men's intellect, but it's not true. It's a lie. And the definition of what they'll say is love, it has to line up with the Word. Because God is love. God gave His Word. So anything that's love will line up with His Word. A lot of what people are talking about love and accepting certain things is actually flat against the Word of God and therefore is not love. You know, we talk about getting along with people and accepting people and tolerance of certain things. We are not to tolerate anything that would be against the Word of God, because God Himself, if it's love, they said, well, love would accept that. That's not true. Because if God is love, you know, people say, well, you're just not loving your children if you don't act like basically with their concept of love. Loving your children will line up with the Bible definition of what love is. And not this nonsense that a lot of people are peddling today that is not love. It's an enablement for people to do stuff that is against God's Word. It's not love. You can't talk about love without talking about capital L-O-V-E, God, who is love. He is love. And we have the Spirit of the living God shed abroad or poured out in our hearts to enable us to do, to love. What is love? It's acting as God would act. And it's not us. So see, do you see the difference? People have this idea of what love is and say, if you act like this, you're love. That's not the Christian way. God actually takes His Spirit and puts it in us to enable us to walk in love. So can you really walk in love without Him? You can't. You can do something that kind of looks like it, but the reason God, one of the reasons God gave us His Spirit is to enable us to do this. The Bible says you'll know them by their love for one another. It's not normal. This is not normal. It's not normal human behavior walking in love. I'm getting ahead of myself, but what I want to get over to you today is walking in love, walking in the Spirit is walking in love. You see how we're getting there? Because He gave us His Spirit to give us His love. When you talk about walking in love, what you're saying is you're walking in tune with the Spirit. They are the same. You will never walk in the Spirit, the Spirit's never going to lead you to do something that is outside of love. Why? Because the Spirit of God is love. And we've been given the Spirit to walk in love. What did it say right here? Verse 27, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Let's turn over to Galatians 22. 5:22, thank you. You would have been surprised when you got to Galatians and looked for 22. Galatians 5:22. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, I just want to say this to you. The fruit of the Spirit, that word is not necessarily capitalized or not capitalized. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I know this. There, it's not capitalized or not capitalized in the Greek. It's by context. And so that's how you look at it. This right here, either way, you're going to end up at the same place. But I just want to show you, if it reads correctly either way, if you talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the born-again, recreated human spirit is going to bear this fruit. Where's the love of God been shed abroad? In our heart, which is your spirit. And it's being, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to produce that. So it's not just like the fruit of the Spirit, like, well, it's the Spirit, but not us. No, your spirit. This is what ought to be our fruit. When we talk about fruit in our lives, this is what it ought to look like. Now, it's not the flesh. Now, he just got done saying that. In fact, go back to verse 16. And this makes sense. When you read this like this and you realize, well, okay, this can be just, this is the human spirit, it makes sense. Verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. I mean, see, if you look at it and you talk about your spirit warring against your flesh, that's what happens, okay? Your flesh is, I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't work the other way. I'm just saying there's nothing in the Word that says that has to be capitalized or not. You can take it and look at it, and it makes a whole lot of sense when you look at it as it's your spirit, because this is what happens. You have a choice whether to yield to your spirit or your flesh. And so many people are thinking, I'm acting a certain way, I just don't love. And what we don't realize is that, no, if we're Christians, the love is in there. We're just yielding to our flesh. If you yield to your flesh, you could say, I mean, somebody says something to you, and you can react out of your flesh, out of your head, or you can react out of your spirit. And your flesh wants to just, sometimes somebody says something, your flesh, you know, just wants to take them out. And if you don't watch it, if you react too quickly, it's already out there. You've already said it. You ever done that before? Of course you have. You're human. You've said something.
What's that?
Somebody said something, and you found, I mean, it's just like it bypassed that part of your brain, and it went straight to your mouth, and it's already up, and it's gone, and you're like, did I say that out loud? Oops. Right? No, we don't want to react out of our flesh all the time. Our flesh is our flesh. You can discipline your flesh. Your flesh isn't evil necessarily, but you know, it's like money. You can use money, good or bad. But your flesh is going to have temptations, and you don't keep it in check. It's going to want to go undisciplined, right? So what do we have to do with that? We're going to have to do something, or else that's where we're going to end up. So it's going like this against your spirit. Your spirit wants to do the right thing and knows what to do because what the love of God has been poured out in there. But it hadn't been poured out in your mind necessarily. Your mind's got to be renewed to this. The more you realize, your mind realizes that I'm supposed to listen to my spirit. Your spirit or your mind can start siding in with your spirit. So now something happens, and instead of reacting on your flesh, your mind goes, no, our flesh is not right here, side in with the Spirit, and you can react out of here, out of love. Because you have the love, but you got to do it. But your flesh has not been sanctified in any way. So you can't rely on what goes on there. The way your flesh wants to react, good just to count to 10 before you react out of the flesh. You know, just let it calm down. Maybe you got to count to more than 10. Maybe 10,000 would be better. Sometimes, you know, I'm going for a drive, and I'll see you when I see you. Because I don't want to deal with what might happen if I talk right now. So I'm going to see you later. Right? Well, we all have this to deal with. Doesn't matter how long you've walked with God, you have flesh. And you are going to deal with your flesh, and it's what we deal with it. We have a choice. We have the Spirit of God inside of us. We have to yield to it. Do you realize you could be walking with God 50 years, and you could still decide to yield to your flesh? Blow up all kinds of things in your life in just a few minutes? You have the choice. Just because you've walked with God does not mean it's on autopilot, right? Well, we can choose to yield to the Spirit. And when it's talking here in verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see that? If you're walking in the Spirit, yielding to that, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh because you're walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're being led by Him, doing what He would have you to do. You are, by definition, not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Right? We have a choice. So you have a crossroads how many times a day? All the time. You hit these crossroads just like this all the time. You have a choice. I'm going to go here. 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 You know? If you get on this track just going over here and it's all bad decision, bad decision, bad decision, bad decision, pretty soon you're just over here and you're like, how did I get here? Well, it started over here. You said one thing, and then instead of just saying, you know what, I shouldn't have said that, I forgive you, you just said another thing, and then, well, you could still, you know, reconcile at this point, but then you just said another thing, and then you did this, and then pretty soon you're over here, and you're like, how do we get here? Well, do a little detective work. You could come back here and say, when did this start? When did this start to go off the rails? Ah, it's when I said that thing. I knew I shouldn't have said it. I could have stopped. At that point, it's real easy just not to say anything. But I said it anyway. I yielded to the flesh. Now, you know what? It comes a little easier to yield to the flesh at this point. You can still stop, but it's easier just to get going, to keep going. At this point, now you have your pride to deal with. You've already said stuff. And they've said stuff back to you. It's already going like this. Still have a choice. But at this point, it's pretty easy just to yield to the flesh again. You see how this happens? When you know what to do, do it. When you have the ability to know what to do, and that at that point, you know, I am in full control right now. I don't have to say anything. At that point, it's a good thing to yield to your spirit. Because guess what happens? Just like when you yield to the flesh, it's easier to yield to the flesh. If you yield to the spirit, guess what? It's easier to yield to the spirit. What you give into gets stronger. What you feed gets stronger. What you starve will get weaker. You don't feed the flesh, you don't yield to the flesh, pretty soon your flesh is just the shriveled up little person, and you know, he tries to say this, and you shut up. Not listening to you, and it's just, okay. But you, in your spirit man, is this what we're talking about in Ephesians? That you be strengthened in the inner man? That you just see your inner man just getting strong, and your flesh shriveling up, and I'm talking about the will of your flesh, the voice of your flesh, not your flesh should be healthy. You get strong in the spirit to where your flesh tells us something. You're so used to yielding to the spirit that you just, it's easy for you to knock it down. But on the other hand, you yield to the flesh, you yield to the flesh, you yield to the flesh. Your spirit man, even though it's the love of God is in there, even though it's strong, its voice is getting weaker. You watch things that sow to the flesh. We got to watch what we watch. You listen to constant strife. You listen to people arguing. You watch things on TV that feed your flesh. It makes it harder for you to yield to your spirit. Pretty soon your flesh is getting strong. And the voice of your spirit is getting smaller. To where your spirit says, oh, you ought not to say that. Shut up. I'm going to say it anyway. I'll say whatever I want to say. But... And we wonder why stuff starts happening. It's right here. We have to starve that. Now, what can you do? This guy, the flesh, is getting bigger. Something's got to rein him in. Thank God for the helper. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. I don't care how long your flesh has been on the throne, you can start pulling him down today, now. Because the Holy Spirit's been given to help us do this. It's not your moral muscle, your willpower. It is yielding to Him, yielding to the inner man. You see why somebody that doesn't have the inner man, what are they going to do? They're going to rely on their willpower. You try to live by the flesh. All you're going to do is slap the flesh down here, and he's going to pop up here. You do that now, he's going to pop up down there. And he's going to pop up over there. And pretty soon he's going to pop up and you don't have anything to do. You've exhausted your strength. The flesh will just keep going. But with the Spirit of God can crush that. The Spirit of God will give you ascendancy to where the power of the flesh just recedes. Why? Because you start building up your inner man. You start, even when it's hard, you want to say something, but you yield to the Spirit of God, and you've asked God to help you, and you've yielded yourself to Him, and you want to say it where you've said it 1,000 times that way. Somebody comes at you a certain way. You've always reacted this way, but you yield to God. You react a different way. Guess what just happened? You yielded to the spirit, which just bumped your spirit up and just brought the flesh down a little. Well, if you can do that, if you can move one up and one down, you can do it again. And if you can do it twice, you can do it again. And there is, if you can do it one time, you can do it N times. A number of times, however many times it takes. And you can start doing this to where pretty soon you have momentum. Your flesh is going down. Your spirit is getting stronger. And you, the more you do that, it reinforces. You see the results in your life. You start seeing the results in your relationship. You start seeing that the Spirit of God is helping you to walk with Him. You're yielding to the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is called walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit, as we'll see, that is walking in love. You're yielding to Him. Now go back over to Galatians 5:16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And that we just talked about. You know what to do, but you yield into the wrong thing. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and it goes through all these things, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So which list sounds better to you? Which one do you want working in your home and in your life? First list, second list. I like the second list. How about a home that is full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which means you bear one another, patient, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's all a fruit of the Spirit. That's all. When you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in these things. We're yielding to these things. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Let's see. We're in Galatians. Thank you, Lord. Let's look up at Galatians 5:13. We didn't go quite that far back. Let's look at Galatians 5:13 since we're in Galatians there. It says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Through love, serve one another. But it says, you have been called to liberty, but don't use that liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. It's like what we were talking about. We have, and then he goes on to say all those things that we just said. We have freedom in Jesus. But he's saying right here, don't use that freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Because what is the end of yielding to the flesh, like what we just read? All these things that we don't want. We have freedom, and we exercise our freedom to yield to the Spirit. And what did he say? Love. To walk in love. To love one another. And we have that choice. Flesh, Spirit. Flesh or the Spirit, which is walking in love. So we can walk in love and we can walk in the Spirit, and we don't have to. We've been given a choice. We have liberty. But you know, all those things that we read, here's good news. All those things that we read in that list about the flesh, let's look at them real quick, because this is, sometimes people make a bigger deal about this than needs to be. 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. It said all these things are works of what? The flesh. You realize there's not a spirit behind all these things? You know, some people, they look at this list and surely sorcery. What does the Bible call it? But what does the Bible call it right here? It's a work of what? Flesh. And all these things? Some people are looking for a spirit behind everything. No, Bible says right here all these things. I mean, I'm not saying there can't be a spirit motivating and help you. There definitely can. But a lot of it, just flesh. People are looking for spirits behind, well, I be, you know, bind and what. You better watch it. Don't make a spirit where there is no spirit. You better know from God there's a spirit you're dealing with. A lot of times, it's just people's flesh. You're dealing with flesh. It may look, yeah, if you're into your flesh, which the devil's definitely helping them, but it's just flesh. If the sooner we realize that, then we'll be like, ah, that's their flesh. They're yielding to the wrong thing. They don't even know it. Well, with us, just make sure we're yielding to the right thing, right? But don't be quick to put spirits on things. Don't be quick to call something a spiritual problem when so many, I mean, look at these things. This is a heavy-duty list. You know, it'd be kind of tough to come up with some stuff that is bad that isn't on this list. In some form or another, right? The Bible says it's flesh. People get in the flesh, they're not yielding to the right thing. Christians, you know? How could somebody ever do that? You know how they could do it. Yield to their flesh and boom, there you go. Could we do it? Could you could do that after walking with God 30 years. You still have your flesh. And if you chose to yield to it, you could do something really stupid. How could he ever do it? Same way you could do it. Any one of us could do anything on this list today if you yield to the wrong thing. Right? So we ought to just make sure and realize that. The good news is if you realize this is all just flesh, and you have the Spirit of God in your heart, guess what? And it's all a choice. And I have this list or this list in front of me. What do I have to do? I just have to choose the right list. Can it be that? I mean, people make it so big. Oh, you don't understand. It's been all this and there. What does the Bible say? It's flesh. But we have the Spirit of God poured out in our heart to help us do what he told us to do, and we have the helper inside of us. So even if we've done the stuff on this list, what's the good news today? Don't have to. So if you're a Christian and you've been walking with God for 30 years and you could choose to do something on the wrong list, guess what? If you're a Christian and even if you've messed up and done stuff on the first list, guess what? Today you can start doing it on the other list. Today. Today. Yeah. Amen. If we realize that, then it comes down to I have the Spirit of the living God inside of me. My flesh is pushing against my spirit. My spirit against my flesh. And today, I have the ability to choose which I'm going to do. And then the choice becomes real clear. Right? We say, I'm going to choose this over here. I'm going to choose the fruit of the Spirit. And we just keep choosing day after day and just knowing that I'm going to yield to the Spirit. I'm going to yield to the Spirit. I'm going to yield to love. I'm tempted to go over there, but I'm not letting that in my house. I'm not letting that in my life. I'm going over here. I'm yielding to number two. I'm yielding to the Spirit of God. It's a choice. And we have the Spirit of the living God to help us make that choice. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy quick. Deuteronomy 30. I want you guys to see something here. Thank you, Lord. Deuteronomy 30, let's go to verse 15. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. It says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, that the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess." Verse 19. "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life in the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Look at verse 19. "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death." Does this sound like what we just read in Galatians? There's two lists. There's the flesh and there's the spirit. And in the new covenant, we've been given the spirit of the living God inside of us to do what He's told us to do. And it's a choice which way we're going to go, right? And so He's telling, right here, He's telling the Israelites, He's saying, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death." So He's saying, before all the beings of the world, I call you to witness that this day you have a choice. Every one of us has a choice today. The same thing. He said that I have set before you life and death. Like those two lists. One of them is life, love, joy, peace, etc. One of them is death, murder, envy, strife, fornication, adultery, all these things that lead to death. He said, blessing and cursing. Therefore, what? Choose life. Now, that wouldn't seem like that's such a hard decision, is it? And we said, yeah, we have flesh. Yeah, our flesh is going to try to get us. It tends towards being undisciplined. But we have the greater one inside of us to help us overcome that and make a choice, simple choice, to say, "I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to choose death. I choose life today." He said, therefore, choose life. What? That both you and your descendants may live. Do these choices have long-reaching effects? Yeah, they do. He said, not just you. Everybody that comes after you in your family. Make the right choice. Today, when we are tempted, and we all will be, before we even leave this church, potentially, this building, we're going to be tempted to yield to our flesh. Maybe on the way home, you're going to be tempted to yield to your flesh. But we have a choice. We can yield to our spirit, yield to our heart, yield to the love that is poured out in there right now, today, this afternoon, this moment. When something we have a tendency, we want to yield, our flesh wants to yield to the right thing, right there, we have this choice right in there. God has said, I've given you life and death before you. Choose the right one. Choose life, right? You think it's that easy? Is that what the Word of God teaches that we've read today? We have the ammo, we have the ability on the inside, and we know. We can't say we don't know. The people in this room and the people that have heard this recording cannot say we don't know that we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And we can't say that we don't know that the flesh is going to try to pull us off. Right? I'll tell you that right now, your flesh is going to try to pull you off right away. We just read it. It's a war. It's happening. So that shouldn't come as a shock. When you have some thought pop in your mind today, you have something that you feel like you want to do that's against the Word of God, you shouldn't say, oh no, I must have a blankety blank spirit harassing me. You can just say, that's my flesh, right? Don't over-spiritualize it. Know that you have flesh and your spouse has flesh. Your kids have flesh. And the people that are out on the road that you're driving with have flesh. And so when your spouse tells you something and you say, how could you ever say that? You can say, now you know how they could say it. You know it was their flesh. And now you have a choice. Are you going to react the same way? They reacted out of the flesh. Are you going to react flesh? Because then what? Then they're going to react. It could go back and forth. Or they could react and say something in spirit. Just because they said something does not give you the license or do away with your choice to still choose life. Somebody comes at you with flesh, you can come back at them with love. Can we do that? They come at you and they're mean and you come back at them, I love you anyway. But blip, 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 blip. I love you. And come back with a loving answer. Could we do that? Do we have the choice? Could we say that we can't do it? We could not say that, right? We know it's in our heart. And we know we have to yield to the love that's in our heart and we don't yield to the flesh. Now, let's not just put that off into the future. Let's not say I'll think about that next week. Today, now, we're going to have the opportunity today to put this into practice and to see it work. We can see it work today. We can see, do you realize before we go to bed tonight, we can see change in our lives today? Is that possible? Change in our house today. Yeah. Now, what if you're making the choice to walk in love and person comes at you with flesh, you come back with love, they come at you with flesh, you come out with love. What if they do that over and over? Does it give you the license to say, I tried it, forget it. I've come back in love. They're not coming back. Forget it. It's flesh time. Let's go. Does that give you the right to do it? No. Sometimes we wish it'd just be like, okay, God, you wait out there. We're going to have this out in here. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. We know it. The problem is there is no excuse. Right? There is no excuse. There is never a point we get to say, I don't care. I'm letting it rip now. I just want to. We could do it, but just know we're making a choice to yield to this list right over here. We just took a step, and we have to know that if we take a step there, it'll be easier to take a step there again. Right? Now, if you do step out in the flesh, good news. You don't have to stay there, and the next step you take does not have to be another flesh step. Do you know it? You can do a diving save. You threw that, you know, they come back and you react just like you, even this afternoon. Somebody says something and you're like, boom, it's out there. There's still hope. You could still say, you know what, I didn't mean that. That was wrong. And if you're with talking to somebody that knows what we're talking about, like let's say the people in this room, your spouse, you can do this. Shelley and I have done this. You say something, you say, sorry, you can stop right there and say, I yielded the wrong thing. I'm sorry. That was stupid. I shouldn't have. Now, the other partner has a choice right there. Are they going to listen to that, or are they going to say, yeah, but you still said it, and I'm still going to let you have it. I'm not going to. Then maybe we'll talk about, but you said it. No, we can say, I know. You're right. I understand, and I know if I understand that I could have done that exact same thing, all they did, because some people say, I can't believe you said that. How could you ever? Because they were yielding to the flesh. Yeah. Doesn't mean they mean everything they're saying. They're just yielding to the wrong thing. And they're basically hooking up with the devil and just giving you everything that's coming through their head. And they don't necessarily mean it. They're yielding to their flesh. So if we'll look at it and say, oh, you yield to the flesh. Yeah, I've done that a few times. All right, I forgive you. Let's go on. Boom. Right back in sync. What if you took 3 or 4 steps down the road? And you know that it's getting worse, and I mean, you're about to have a blow up. Could you still rescue it? Yes, you can. You can rescue it at any time. Now, man, that doesn't mean your wife's going to turn like this and her emotions are going to simmer down. You say some stupid things, you might have to just walk for a while. And ladies, too, the other person. Just because you say something and you go, well, I'm walking in love now, where are you? Come on. I'm doing the right thing, right? If you already said like 5 or 6 things and now you think it's going to turn around, well, that's not walking in love right there. But if it doesn't matter. If you're ready, you've seen it happen, you're ready to clash, and you can say in the middle of that, you know what? This is stupid. Because you know what happens? If you're living for God, the devil is going to try to knock you off. And if you're living with your spouse and walking and bringing your family, you know what he's going to try to do? Instead of fighting him, he's going to try to get you to fight each other. Anybody that's married know this is true. If he can get you fighting each other, you're not going to go on with the plan of God. It kind of ceases right there for a while. You duke it out till you come to your senses and realize, why am I fighting you? I'm in this boat with you. I'm not planning on leaving, so I might as well get along with you. And if we realize when it's going down this way, even if we already had a couple rounds, we can still stop and say, you know what, this is stupid. We're not doing this. I'm not going to fight with you. This is wrong. You know what? I'm not mad at you. I'm feeling pressure because of such and such, and I'm just yielding to the wrong thing. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? We can choose life, right? Yes. And we can come back to harmony. And I'm telling you, there is strength in that. Where we walk in love, and you really, if both partners, and specifically partners, but families are doing that, children, we can do this. We can choose to do this, right? We can choose to walk in love. We can choose to follow His plan for us. Every day. Right now. Today. Amen? Amen. Is that good news?
Yes.
Praise God. So today, we know, is there going to be a test? Are we going to pass? Sometimes it just helps to play this out beforehand. When you know, this is what happens, this person does this, if they say that, here's what I'm going to say. Especially if you know it's coming. Then you set yourself up to, I'm yielding to my spirit. I don't care. I'm yielding to my spirit. I'm yielding, walk in love. Then when that time comes and you still want to, you have some ability that the Spirit of God can help us. Amen.